Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Out of curiosity, how many of you actually stayed up till midnight? New York time, yeah. That's what we started doing, 9 o'clock. It's midnight somewhere.
I heard the fireworks at midnight.
You know, I had a dog growing up. Fireworks would drive that dog insane. My dog's now. You could break into my house. That'd help you move the stuff out. Actually, my big dog, Quincy, 115 pounds. About 3 ounces of it brain, but I come in, it doesn't even come downstairs anymore, but you can hear its big tail just going thump, thump, thump. It's like, glad you're here. Hey, this morning we are starting a new series called Christianese. So January and February, our sermon series is all on Christianese. If you're not familiar with what Christianese is, well, here's one way of understanding what Christianese is. Christianese refers to the contained terms and jargon used within the Christian subculture as a functional system of religious terminology. It is characterized by the use in everyday conversation of certain words, theological terms, puns, and catchphrases in ways that may be only comprehensible within the context of a particular Christian sect or denomination. Okay, that's a giant description. If you're following along on your bulletin, you could probably reduce what Christianese is to this. The language Christians use that is totally foreign to people outside the church and often misunderstood by people in the church. That's Christianese. Here's an example. Tomorrow you go to work, go to school, you're with some people that don't go to church. And you look at them, and they ask you, how was your weekend? You go, oh, had a great weekend. Yesterday at church, we took a love offering, and I was so blessed. And we got to love on some kids. And they would look at you, what are you talking about? I watched an interview once, and it had this guy talking with some friends that were not church people at all. And he was throwing out church language to them and then asking them, what do you think it means? And one of the phrases he used was a love offering. And they go, so what do you think a love offering is? And his friends looked at him and go, kind of sounds like an orgy. Now, you might, if you grew up in a church context, oh, love offering, where you take an offering to give to somebody else. But if you're not from the church and part of that little Christian subculture, you might just go, that just sounds weird. And the idea of loving on someone, ew, you know? You know, oh, yes, but I have been redeemed and set free by the Holy Ghost and empowered to go out in mission. It's like, really? If you're not from that subculture, that Christian subculture, it doesn't make any sense. And the thing is, we use Christianese all the time. Take a look.
Bless his heart.
I think he's backsliding.
I think I saw him drink.
Yeah, but in moderation.
I just wasn't seeing much fruit.
He's going down a slippery slope.
How's your heart, man?
How's your heart?
I'm just such a words guy.
It was a total God thing. I'm blessed. I've been working on my testimony.
Is that secular music?
We're opening with a secular song tonight.
Wait, is this a secular song? Isn't she secular?
Which station's The Fish?
104.3 The Fish. Safe for the whole family. You know he's a believer. I think he's saved.
I just pray you would give him traveling mercies. Mm. Pray for all Tyler's unspokens.
Echo that.
Just really like to echo Tyler's prayer, Father. I echo that echo of my echo of his echo.
I really feel like I'm being released from this, you know?
I'm trying to be relevant. I'm just trying to be in the world, not of it. Hey, do you want to join our small group? You want to join my D group? You want to join my cell group? Community group? Access group? Accountability group? Acts 27 group?
Dude, he brought it.
He brought the word. That service last night rocked me.
They're pretty purpose-driven.
Yeah, it's Seeker. Don't they do Seeker service there?
I feel like he's gotten really watered down.
I don't feel like he really teaches the word.
There's not enough meat, you know?
Are they non-denom? We have a great Wednesday night supper.
Let's invite some dudes over and fellowship tonight.
We're gonna have a sweet time of fellowshipping tonight.
Dude, we had the sickest fellowship last night. We're going to Extreme.
Velocity.
Ignite.
Yeah, I'm going to Ignite.
The Edge.
The Dive.
The Bridge. The Ramp.
Fire.
Courageous. Passion. Echo. Reverb.
Noise.
Velocity. Drive.
Elevate.
Radiate.
722.
635.
419.
Orange.
Blue.
Yellow. Green. Clear. Neon.
Catalyst Conference this year.
I don't do that because I feel like it ruins my witness.
Been struggling with that.
So I'm really wrestling with that. I'm wrestling with a doubt.
Need someone to hold me accountable.
I'm really trying to be intentional with her. I'm pursuing her for sure. I'm trying to guard her heart.
Guard her heart though, bro.
Will you hold me accountable to that?
All right. We use it all the time. Chances are as you watch those two, you went, yep. Guilty as charged. I use that language all the time. And if we're using it within this setting, it's somewhat clear. Use it outside of this setting, it's a different language. So the question becomes, what are we going to do with the influx of Christianese in our little subculture? Well, there's a couple things we can do. One of the things we could maybe try is in this next video.
Have you ever been told by a Christian friend that they wanted to love on you and it made you feel uncomfortable? Has a believer ever asked you who you were doing life with and you didn't know what to say? Has someone ever invited you to a fellowship but you didn't go because you don't even know what that is? Hi, I'm regionally semi-successful Christian music recording artist Micah Tyler, and I'm here to help solve a problem that so many in our world face today by offering to you a new program, Rosetta Stone, Christianese. Unlike Hebrew and Greek, which are only learned by your pastor so they can impress you with one line each Sunday morning, Rosetta Stone Christianese will teach you to communicate the Lord's true language for the church today. With Rosetta Stone Christianese, you'll learn words and phrases like being relevant, unspoken prayer requests, quiet time, and I see that hand. You'll also learn measurements like tenfold, 100-fold, a season, and much, much more. As you mature in your relationship with Christ and His bride, we also offer advanced courses in Southern Drawl, West Coast Slang, and King James Version. So log on to our website, sign up today, and begin the journey of a lifetime by conforming to the ways of these words. And if you are not fully satisfied within the first 40 days and 40 nights of purchasing this program, well, bless your heart. There are no refunds. May the Lord give you a hedge of protection and traveling mercies wherever your feet may carry you. I'm Micah Tyler. Peace be with you.
Cracked me up that Tim Tebow's on the cover of the Christianese, but I don't know how many of you caught that one. What can we do? Because the reality is we use Christianese often. We could buy Rosetta Stone Christianese, but my suggestion was there are a couple other options for us when it comes to the reality of Christianese. One, we can use language that fits the setting. That would be a really great start. If we are aware of our tendency to use a foreign language, maybe we can go, wait a second, I need to be more intentional with the language I am using. Remember, communication is not simply telling somebody something. Communication is the giving and the receiving of information. If there is no receiving of information, you have not communicated. I can stand before you this morning and say, Habare Sashule. I have said that clearly. I can even repeat it. Habare Sashule. None of you know what I'm talking about because that's Swahili. It's one of two Swahili sentences that I actually know. And I asked you, how are things at the school? But I said it clearly. You didn't understand, so we didn't communicate. I needed to use a language that you would actually understand. When it comes to Christianese, we need to go, oh, wait a second. Am I using a language that makes sense to the people I'm talking to? Probably the patron saint of all of this is the Apostle Paul. It's this guy Paul who said, I'm all things to all people, basically. Didn't mean that he was watering things down. He goes, no, he understood that the language he used would have to change depending on the group he was talking to. If you read through the book of Acts, most of it is Paul's missionary journeys. When Paul was in Antioch, he's in a Jewish community. And so the language he uses, the terminology, the examples, the imagery, all coming out of a Jewish context. A Jewish audience completely understood what he was saying. But when he was in Athens, he didn't use Jewish terminology. One, because they weren't Jewish. Actually, there he goes, hey, I see you have lots of idols. And they went, yep. He goes, I see you have an idol to the unknown God. They went, yep. And he used that as his example. He goes, well, that which is unknown to you, let me make known to you. And then he quoted one of their poets. He used their language in order to communicate things to them. We have to use language that fits the setting. We took communion together this morning. Now, as Debbie mentioned, we do communion as a family on purpose. We are a multi-generational church. And we want to be intentional about that. So we don't just send the kids away. No, no, no. We want them with us. We want parents to be taking communion with their kids. There's a modeling that takes place. There are conversations that then can be had. But because we have a multi-generational church, we want to be intentional about the language we use at communion. So when I stood over there, I did not say, we celebrate the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist and profess our faith in the atoning, substitutionary, redemptive work of the Messiah. Even though I believe all of that to be true. And you might be thinking, yeah, the kids wouldn't have understood that. Here's the thing. When it comes to Christianese, it's not just being aware that they might not understand it. It's also acknowledged that even within the Christian subculture, we use forms of Christianese that we don't fully understand. I mean, want me to try that again? We celebrate the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist and profess our faith in the atoning, substitutionary, redemptive work of the Messiah. Chances are you were somewhat familiar with all the words. I've heard those before. But probably half of them you went, if I was on Jeopardy, I'm not getting any money. You know. And so the majority of our time during this series is going to be spent looking at different words and phrases that we might be somewhat familiar to because we're part of a church, but at the end of the day, we don't fully understand even what we're saying. So during this series, we're going to be looking at the word blessed, worship, fellowship, gospel, personal relationship with Jesus, born again, mission, discipleship, all words that we're semi-familiar with, but it's kind of falling in the realm of Christianese and we don't even fully understand it sometimes. But the phrase we're going to start with this morning was actually in the Rosetta Stone ad. And the phrase we're going to look at this morning is quiet time. Again, if you grew up in a church or have been part of a church at all, you've heard people use that phrase. How's your quiet time? Were you able to have a quiet time today? If you're talking to people outside the church, you go, hey, did you have a quiet time today? Like a nap? I sure would like a quiet time. Quiet time sounds awesome. Have you had a quiet time? You mean like a timeout? I'm 50. I can't remember the last time I was sent to my room. But it doesn't sound that bad. Every parent of young children long for quiet time. Oh, and every parent of young children knows the one place in the house you can get quiet time. The bathroom. The bathroom is the fortress of solitude for parents. Not for long. Fingers underneath. I remember once being in the bathroom and one of my daughters, I don't know which one, was sliding me messages under the door, you know. Have you had a quiet time? Within the Christian subculture, what quiet time is referring to is a way to maintain a close connection to Christ through prayer and Bible reading. That's generally what they're talking about. Oh, to have a quiet time is to set aside some time and some space for prayer and reading of the Bible. One author put it this way, a regular appointment that we keep with God that allows us to block out other distractions and focus on our connection with Jesus through practices like prayer and Bible reading. But like all Christian disciplines or practices, maintaining a regular devotional time in and of itself isn't the point. Maintaining a close connection with Christ is. That's the point. The purpose of a quiet time is to maintain a close connection to Jesus, primarily through prayer and reading of Scripture. When we do this, we're following in the example of Jesus. Jesus did this all the time. If you read through the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you discover that Jesus has quiet time often. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was there. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the multitude away. And after bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when day came, he departed to a lonely place. And the multitudes were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. Parents of young children are going, oh, I appreciate Jesus here. He understands. But he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And it was at this time that he, Jesus, went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer. Jesus did this on a regular basis. So when we practice the discipline of quiet time, we're actually following the example of Jesus. But it begs the question, well, how do you do it? Now, here's the thing with the how to have a quiet time. It is not one size fits all. What works for me probably isn't going to work for Jen. And I'll show you why in just a little bit, because what works for Jen is not going to work for me. Probably ever. So, how to have a quiet time. Some things to be thinking about. Set a time and a place. Are you a morning person or are you a night person? My wife gets up early. Way too early, at least for me. She does her quiet time every morning at about 6 a.m. That would not work for me. If I tried to have a quiet time at 6 a.m., it would quickly slip into silent prayer and meditation, also known as sleeping. I would be out. But it totally works for her. One of the ways that I do my quiet time, one of the newer practices, I do a shortened quiet time as the last thing I do before I get out of bed. So before my feet hit the floor, and I'll show you what that looks like in a little bit, that's one of the ways I do quiet time. One of the other ways it works for me, and it doesn't work for other people, is I try at least once a week to go out and have lunch somewhere by myself. But it's in a restaurant, but I eat by myself, and I go through some reading for myself. I'm not distracted by the people around me, so it totally works for me. I love reading as I eat. That works for me. Other people I know do it after work. In fact, one guy I know, he drives home from work. He's got a brutal commute, and when he gets into his driveway, that's when he does it. before he gets out of the car and goes into the house. Because he knows once he goes into the house, there's a whole new thing going on. But he stops there. And that's where he does his reading. That's where he does his journaling and praying. That works for him. But set a time and a place. Are you going to be an everyday person or are you going to be a once a week person? Choose a day, choose a time, choose a place. What's going to work for you? And by the way, when you choose a time and a place and it doesn't work, two suggestions. Keep going. Because sometimes you have to break through to establish a new habit. But sometimes you come to the conclusion, yeah, this doesn't work. Mike's whole do it right before you get out of bed, I just fall right to sleep if I try that. So set a time and a place. Secondly, find someone to share the experience with. This is huge. Find someone to share the experience with. I'm gonna point out my wife again. She does it every morning. And usually in the evening before dinner, she shares with me about what she read and experienced that morning. It totally helps her and totally encourages me. Having somebody that's going to be going, hey, how's your quiet time going, is really helpful. One, there's some accountability there. But the other part is sometimes being able to talk about what you've been learning and experiencing through reading the scripture and praying is really helpful for you to process the experience. If you do it by yourself, can it be done? Certainly. Will you most likely fail? Yes. It's really hard to do this by yourself. Having someone to encourage you is important. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, two are better than one. There's a better return for their work. If one falls down, the other can pick them up. But pity the person who falls down and has no one to pick them up. Two lying together can stay warm, but how can one person stay warm by themselves? One person can be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. In other words, you were not created to do this by yourself. Having somebody along the journey with you, really, really helpful. So set a time, find someone to share the experience with, and then choose a section of the Bible to read. Now, in the seat back in front of you is this. I want you to pull it out. Because sometimes we go, oh my goodness, I don't even know where to begin. Fair enough. Fair enough. One of the things that we do here is we provide reading lists for you on a fairly regular basis. I want you to be on this page. On one side it says questions to consider. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at this one right now. Here are a couple of different reading plans that might be helpful for you. One is the daily reading plan. This is Monday through Friday, and it starts tomorrow, and it ends on Easter Sunday. And it takes you all the way through the Gospel of Mark, and the last chapter of Mark is the resurrection. It is Easter. And so if you follow this, you're going to finish on Easter morning with Easter. The readings, you'll notice, most of them are pretty short. Some of you that love reading a bunch are going to find it really, really frustrating. But this is a way to do it. Next to it, it says a weekly reading plan. Maybe you're someone that just wants to do it once a week. Cool. It's a chapter a week in Mark. You're already behind, so at some point you have to read two chapters to catch up. But same thing, it'll end on Easter Sunday morning. If you want to do just one quiet time a week, cool. I want you to flip over to the back now. On the back, it says, questions to consider while you read scripture. These are the same questions that we provided for you during the 1 and 2 Samuel series. These are a really good set of questions to be going through your head as you read scripture. Because sometimes, let's be honest, scripture can be just thick. It's like, I don't even know what to do with this. These questions are really, really helpful. We'll come back to those in a moment. All right, flip back over. I love that sound. There's also on there, it says a Proverbs reading plan. One of my former mentors, he did this big time. Here's how the Proverbs plan works. Whatever day of the month it is, if it's the 12th of a month, you read chapter 12. Guess how many chapters there are in Proverbs? 31. It totally works. And Read it. Now, my suggestion would be if you're doing the Proverbs plan, if you've never read Proverbs before, it's a bunch of wisdom sayings. And so it's not like it's a, most of the chapters are not all put together and telling a story. You get these little snippets. Choose one of the verses, write it down somewhere. Right? I knew someone that would take a single proverb every day, they'd write it out because something happens in the brain when you write it out, it helps you remember. They'd fold it over once and put it in their pocket. They'd keep that proverb with them the entire day. And every time they noticed it in their pocket, they would pull it out until they didn't have to anymore. And they were actually memorizing scripture. And it was a really good practice for them. And you think, but next month I'm going to do the same thing. Maybe, or else it's going to be a different verse in Proverbs that jumps out at you. That's the Proverbs plan. There are a couple others at the very bottom. And one is sacred space. Sacred space is put out by Irish Jesuits. And I used it years ago, and I rediscovered it recently, and it's been incredibly helpful for me, and it's what I've been doing every morning. And the way it works, you can get an app for it. It's a free app. You could also go on your computer and get it. I just did some screenshots of sacred space to throw up here. And each day, it's got a new thing. You choose your day. And then it says presence, and it's a prayer to read to kind of help you get focused. Then it's a second prayer to go, it says freedom. Thank you, God, for my freedom. May I use this gift to do what I can for those who are oppressed and burdened. This is a simple prayer. After that, there's another section. It says consciousness. I remind myself that I am in your presence, O Lord. I will take refuge in your loving heart. You are my strength in times of weakness. You are my comforter in times of sorrow. For some of you, I know, for me, sometimes praying is difficult, and having written prayers awakens my praying. Then they have a scripture reading. This one's 18 verses long. You'll notice up at the top here, oh, doesn't show there, it says guide or inspiration. Sometimes I'll have some questions that are helpful. If there's a guide that, oh, this is helping me kind of process some of this information. Then it has a conversation that's usually a prayer or some questions following the scripture reading, followed by a concluding prayer. That's all it is. It can be as short as 5 minutes. It can go much, much longer. But it's just a daily thing. And it's, at the very least, you're getting scripture every day. This is something I've used. Something that Chris has used is Bible in 1 year. And again, you can get an app for this. You can also go online for it. And Bible in 1 year just provides some ways to get it set up for you. I've known some people that wanted to go, okay, I'm going to read the Bible this year. It's my New Year's resolution. And I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to start in Genesis. Okay, Genesis, a little weird, but okay. I can make it through that. Exodus, that's some good reading. I'm following along here. Leviticus, Numbers. Next year, I promise, I'm going to read the Bible. It gets kind of hard. And sometimes you get some programs that kind of break it up, that kind of help you so you don't get bogged down in some places. And if you want any information about sacred space, come talk to me. If you want to talk about Bible in 1 year.
There's also a hard copy of a different yearly plan out in the connecting table.
If you couldn't hear that, there's another daily reading plan that's out of the connecting table. I saw it. You're going to need a magnifying glass to really appreciate it, but it's a great, I mean, there are resources out there for you. So choose a section of the Bible to read, and then finally, how to have a quiet, pray. Pray. If you're someone who goes, Mike, I don't even know how to pray. Okay. I like to joke. Somewhat joke. I'm a professional Christian and I struggle with prayer sometimes. I do. There are times that it's really, really hard for me. And I got to tell you, praying in front of a group, even though I've been doing it for decades, is still really weird for me. Because for me, prayer is this really intimate, private thing. When I do it in front of people, I struggle. And sometimes when I pray, I go before God, I go, God, bleh. I don't even know what to say, but I really thankful that he hears my blah. If you're struggling with prayer, a couple of suggestions. And prayer is like anything else in a quiet time. It's not a one-size-fits-all. And you go through seasons where certain kinds of praying really work and sometimes are really dry. Some people use acronyms to help them stay focused. Anybody ever use an acronym to pray? Anybody tell me what the acronym was? ACTS. This cracks me up. Ready for this one? This is the acronym for praying that people use. ACTS. Adoration. You're amazing. Confession. I'm not. Thanksgiving. I'm really thankful that you still love me, even though you're amazing and I'm not. And supplication. Welcome back to Christianese. supplication. This is where you ask for stuff. And I love the order of the ACTS prayer because lots of time our praying is reduced completely to just asking, Dear God, I want this, 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 this. Thank you. Get to work. Wait a second. You're God. I'm not. I'm thankful for who you are and God, help. Another one. Some people use the acronym PRAY. Praise, repent, ask, yield. Yield, I surrender. Some people like me really love written prayers. They're really, really helpful. A great study someday. Look at all the different prayers in Scripture. And by the way, if prayer is nothing more than a conversation between God and a person and God, then anytime you see a conversation between God and a person, you've got a wonderful example of prayer. One year I was completely geeking out on this, and I started just taking as many prayers as I could find, and I outlined them. Because my brain works that way. And when I took the outline of those prayers, I then had an outline for my prayer. It totally worked for me. Anyone that knows me knows that I love breath prayers. And most of the time it's just Scripture. But one of them is just, as I breathe in, just, Abba, Father, I belong to you. Most of the time, however, when I do breath prayers, I'm just reciting Scripture. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Take it out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Or take out of Revelations, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And sometimes that's just my repeated prayer. I had somebody go, but don't you lose something when you just repeat that prayer over and over and over again? Well, the cherubim and seraphim have been repeating that prayer for all of eternity, and apparently it still works for them. So if it's working for them, it's good for us too. Lately, I wrote out another little breath prayer for me. I go, you are Lord, and I surrender. You are Lord, and I surrender. Sometimes that's my prayer. Maybe the way you need to be praying is far more conversationally. Back during the 1 Samuel series, I showed you that sometimes I take two chairs and I face them toward one another. And if I believe that God is Emmanuel, God with us, and that he is present, then he is right here. And so I'll sit down and I'll talk out loud with my eyes open. It helps me not to be distracted. And it actually forces me to go, wait a second, do I actually believe that the God who I'm talking to is present and hears me? Because sometimes we pray going, oh boy, I hope you hear this. I know you're really busy. So, how to have a quiet time. Set a time and a place. Find someone to share the experience with. Choose a section of the Bible. Pray. Here's what I need you to do. On your sheet that we handed out, here's what I want you to do. I want you to choose something. It might not be what you ultimately do. I want you to choose one of the reading plans. A daily, weekly, proverb, Bible in 1 year, sacred space, or if you have another one, write it down. I know my daughter Madison recently purchased something that she's super stoked about. That might be her thing. You'll also notice that it says, my reading partner is, and my preferred reading time and place is. What I want you to do, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, fill this out. At least this will start you in a direction. 30 seconds, go. All right, here we go. Just out of curiosity, how many of you chose the daily reading plan through Mark? Just shoot a hand up. Hey, guys, keep those hands up for a moment. If you're looking for a partner to share this with, there are some. All right. How many of you went with the weekly? All right. You might have a partner there. Proverbs. Lay's double dipping. She's doing at least two. Ooh, she's AP quiet time. All right. Sacred space. Anybody doing that one? All right. Got my sacred space people over here. Bible in 1 year. All right. Cool. How many of you ever want to put down the name of a person that's going to be your partner? All right. If you don't have that yet, hey, grab somebody you saw their hand was up. You can check in every Sunday morning with them when you see them. How was your week? I said this earlier. Like all Christian disciplines, maintaining a regular devotional time in and of itself isn't the point. Maintaining a close connection to Christ is. That's the point. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, it says this: I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I don't want your quiet times. I want you to know me. And this is where, you know, the video for Rosetta Stone is going to come in. What's one of my favorite Hebrew words is yada. Yada is the Hebrew word that is usually translated as to know. But when it says to know, it's not referring to gathering more information. God is not saying, I want you to know more about me. I want you to know me. The word yada is the same word used to describe when it says, Adam knew Eve. Adam didn't simply know information about Eve. He knew Eve. Yada is a tremendously intimate word. And what God is saying here is, I created you to yada me, to know me, for us to be in that kind of intimate relationship. The purpose of quiet time is in part for us to dive into that yada, to become a people that don't know just about God, but know God. And as we know him, to be transformed and empowered. My prayer for all of us as we go into this new year is that a version of quiet time would become part of our regular routine so that we yada God. Would you pray with me?